Purdue Pharma filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy yesterday as the company tries to settle more than 2,600 lawsuits over its role in the opioid epidemic. The lawsuits come from municipal governments and states across the country, including Wisconsin. Last week, Purdue said it had reached a tentative deal to resolve those lawsuits that could involve billions of dollars in payouts. But last Wednesday, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call announced he would not sign on to the proposed settlement. He's not alone. Here he is on Wisconsin Public Television's Here and Now last Friday.
Wisconsin, and I think probably a number of other states, in fact, I'm confident a number of other states, will continue to pursue their claims both against the bankruptcy estate. We also have a claim against one of the members of the Sackler family. Those claims will be claims that we continue to pursue either in a bankruptcy forum or in the forum where they currently are.
Lenny Bernstein covers health and medicine for The Washington Post. Lenny, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's take this one piece at a time. Why are we seeing Purdue file for bankruptcy?
So this is part of the plan that they've worked out with the litigants, the federal and some of the state litigants, which is that they would seek the protection of the bankruptcy judge to halt the trials that would be continuing in state court from the attorneys general like Wisconsin, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New York, who have not gone along with the program, and then resurrect themselves down the road as a trust under the control of the bankruptcy court trustees appointed by the bankruptcy judge. So this was all part of the plan that was hashed out, and it's now going to be really interesting to see what the judge does.
If everybody in all parties agreed to this settlement, and they haven't, but if they did, what would this settlement look like? What would it do?
It's quite extensive. It would the Sacklers would give up control of Purdue. Purdue would essentially be dissolved. And they are valuing their assets plus their own personal contributions at about $10 to $12 billion. There would be a new entity created that would use profits from OxyContin sales and other revenues to produce drugs that would go out to communities that would be used to overturn overdoses, to reverse overdoses, and to treat people who have addiction. So they would basically be focused on treating the kinds of substance abuse problems that people say have been created from the use of their drugs.
So what is the split breaking down like among the states, the state attorneys general who are saying, yes, like this deal, and no, we're going to keep fighting this?
Completely fascinating. First of all, it's mainly Republican AGs that are for the deal and mainly Democratic AGs that are against the deal. Not entirely, but pretty close. And the rub seems to be that those who do not want to participate feel that the Sacklers themselves are not putting enough money into the pot. That is, from their personal funds. They believe that the Sacklers have made billions and billions and billions of dollars off the sale of OxyContin, which they say was a major contributor to the opioid epidemic, and they've taken that out and put it in their personal accounts. Now they want to fund the solution by dissolving Purdue, dissolving a foreign corporation they own called Mundi Pharma, but not by putting enough of their own skin in the game.
Talking to Lenny Bernstein from The Washington Post about Purdue Pharma, a company at the center of a lot of opioid lawsuits. They're working on a settlement, filing for bankruptcy, but it's not a done deal yet. And Lenny, about the Sackler family's personal funds, there was some news in the last week about money being wired, if I have this right, from the corporation Purdue Pharma to individual accounts apparently held by members of the family?
Right. The Sacklers have their personal funds in this labyrinth of trusts and holding companies and investments all around the world. And in an attempt to get at some of that, to get information on those organizations and to find where the Sacklers have put their money, and of course, most importantly, to find out how much they have, Letitia James, the AG in New York, and other AGs are sending out subpoenas to try to figure out what's going on. One subpoena yielded information from a single financial institution that the New York AG says showed wire transfers of money that went through a couple of entities and through a Swiss bank account. and into the Sacklers' trust, if I'm remembering it correctly. Now, the Sacklers say, hey, this was a decade ago. It's perfectly legal. We're allowed to wire money around. That's what wealthy people do when they're transferring money to different places. What's the news here? So we don't know. Letitia James was suggesting, well, this is an attempt to hide money, but I don't think that quite came out yet.
At the core of this case, what wrongdoings are the Sacklers and Purdue Pharma being accused of in the midst of all these suits?
Well, the overall wrongdoing is this. 200,000 people died of overdoses to prescription drugs between 99 and 2017, and more continue to die in the years since. Millions became dependent on opioids, prescription opioids, and became addicted and needed treatment. So should Purdue and other members of the drug industry that were responsible for monitoring the flow of these drugs and in some cases aggressively promoted these drugs to doctors, telling them these things are not as addictive as you think, these things are can be used for a much wider variety of pain than you are used to, should they be responsible for paying back communities across America for the costs that they have incurred as a result of this opioid crisis? And those costs are things that everybody knows: treatment, addiction reversal, emergency care, foster children, taking care of babies that were born with opioids in their systems. That's what they're being asked to do. That's what they're being accused of.
Getting back to this settlement dispute, what happens next? How does this get resolved, given that, you know, a big chunk of the attorneys general involved don't want to deal with the settlement?
So the next place we're all going to look is to the bankruptcy court in White Plains, New York. And there, Purdue will go with its plan and with all the people who are in on the deal and have decided it's better for us to be inside working with Purdue than outside trying to object. And they will say, Your Honor, we have this settlement plan. It's not a world beater, but it's the best thing that we're going to get. And we think that you should halt all the other litigation in state courts, in Wisconsin, in New York, in New Jersey, in Massachusetts, from people who don't want to go along with the plan. Those AGs, including your own, will also be there, and they'll be saying, heck no, Your Honor. These are not people who are broke and need protection from us. These people have billions and billions of dollars somewhere in the bank, and we want to chase that. If you halt our litigation, we have no way to get at it.
I'm guessing no matter which way the judge rules, somebody's going to want to appeal this thing?
I'm guessing, and I don't have a ton of experience with bankruptcy courts, so we're going to have to see where that goes. But I do know that bankruptcy judges traditionally have a lot of authority to do this kind of thing because, look, think about your typical bankruptcy. The debtor doesn't have anything. What's the point in letting people go forward with litigation? In this case, the debtor has billions of dollars. Maybe there's a different argument here.
This is one company, a really important company in opioids. As you mentioned, they made OxyContin, and they made a lot of money off of it. This is not the only company being sued, right? What else is out there on the landscape when it comes to lawsuits related to the opioid epidemic?
Yes, by far, this is not the only company being sued. You have all the major distributors of opioids. That would be McKesson Corp, Cardinal Health, AmerisourceBergen, and then they have about 85% of the market, and then a lot of regional distributors. You have retail pharmacy chains, your CVSs, your Walgreens, your Walmarts, your Rite Aids. Those are names that everybody knows. You have other manufacturers of opioids, Mallinckrodt, Teva, and other people who actually put the pills together. The federal litigation, which is actually an amalgamation of 2,000-plus lawsuits from around the country, sues about two dozen members of the drug industry from all up and down the supply chain. And they hold them responsible in the same way they hold Purdue responsible. In fact, the law is targeted most directly at the distribution companies, not the manufacturers.
And lawsuits, we mentioned often they're from state governments, local governments, and the federal government. Are we seeing individuals affected suing as well?
Unfortunately, for those who have lost loved ones, this is not a case like you see in the movies where the person who has lost a family member to an overdose, even in an egregious case, is going to win a big settlement from a drug company. This is not for damages. There's no $100 million check that's going to come at the end of this like it does in the movies. This is governments saying to judges and to these drug companies, you did this. It's cost us billions. You need to help us clean it up. You need to help us abate the problem. So, no, it's really not going to be about individuals getting money back. They may sue, but in Purdue's case, at least, those things would be halted as well.
And finally, Lenny, as we've just heard, there are so many different threads in this story about various opioid lawsuits. What are you watching for next, whether it's with Purdue Pharma or other companies?
In Purdue's case, we're going to be watching bankruptcy court, as I mentioned. In other cases, I am watching the federal case because that's supposed to go to trial a month from now with two counties going first as sort of a litmus test. And there are seven companies left in that case. I would not be surprised in the least if a couple more of them settled beforehand. Both sides would like to have a case that has a small number of companies and then the two plaintiffs, Cuyahoga and Summit counties in Ohio. So I'm looking for more settlements.
Lenny, thanks a lot for joining us again.
My pleasure.
That's Lenny Bernstein, health and medicine reporter for The Washington Post. He was with us today to talk about Purdue Pharma filing for bankruptcy yesterday and a proposed settlement to end thousands of lawsuits over the company's role in the opioid epidemic.